150 leading Catholic scholars say the Vatican needs to end its ban on artificial contraception, such as condoms. At the United Nations this week, the Reingards Institute for Catholic Research released a statement challenging the 1968 papal document Humanae Vitae, or Of Human Life. It said artificial birth control is against, quote, moral natural law. Now, the Pew Foundation recently found two-thirds of US Catholics don't believe artificial birth control is a sin. The signatories to the Reingard statement include two prominent Australians, retired Catholic Bishop Geoffrey Robinson and former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally. Another signatory is the British theologian Professor Tina Beatty of Roehampton University.
The Reingards Institute is appealing for a withdrawal of that ban in the case of prophylactic use, for example, the use of condoms to prevent the transmission of HIV/AIDS. And it's calling for an academic study by respected theological scholars and ethicists to look again at the whole question of the use of contraception to prevent conception for a couple who don't want a pregnancy, and for a change in teaching based on that research.
Yes. The main argument, as you say, seems to be that Humanae Vitae was mistaken in its assertion that without contraception, every act of sexual intercourse is open or should be open to pregnancy. You find that mistaken. How?
For a start, we know biologically that's not true, which is why the church does now accept natural family planning as a way of spacing children. But we know that there are many circumstances when sex serves its purpose of expressing love between a couple, when for reasons of natural biology or ill health or age, it can't possibly be open to conception. And the church accepts that and says that the sex is still good between married couples for expressing love. Once you've accepted that, you've accepted that it's wrong to say every single act of sex must be open to procreation. Mm.
And yes, you also argue that the central text of Christianity, the Bible, finds that there are morally worthy, that's your phrase, morally worthy motives for sexual intercourse that don't involve pregnancy.
There are. I mean, the Bible is full of good sex and bad sex used for all sorts of reasons. And of course, Christianity's central belief hinges on a conception that didn't involve sex at all. So it's a much more complex story than simply reading off the Bible what it does and doesn't teach. The Bible really doesn't teach anything about contraception. And it's an ancient document that has to be interpreted in the light of changing times. What was true for a wilderness community of people, constantly threatened, needing to procreate to survive, is not true for 21st century human beings living in a technological scientific age on a planet that's threatened with our extinction because of overpopulation. Mm.
Can you also explain to us a little known document, and we don't have to go back 50 years to find it, we only have to go back 10 years to find it. What happened in 2006 with a special Vatican commission that actually did say that the use of condoms for family planning was permissible?
Well, I understand that document has not been widely disseminated. It's also true that before the 1968 Declaration of Humanae Vitae, there was a commission set up to investigate the question, which included married couples. And the majority recommendation of that commission, by a long way, was that the church should respect the conscience of the couple in deciding whether or not to use contraception and what kind of contraception to use. And Paul VI overrode that majority decision in favour of quite a strong minority campaign. Mm-hmm. And I think that remains the position that probably the vast majority of Catholics, I suspect, would see the sense in quietly leaving behind or explicitly overturning a doctrine that has never gained the acceptance of the faithful people within the church. And that's a litmus test of the truthfulness of a church teaching. Do praying, worshipping, faithful Catholics accept this teaching? We know that over 90% of Catholic couples in some cultures are practicing artificial methods of contraception, count the children in the pews on any Sunday morning.
But I think the point is, though, that there is a document that is only 10 years old, that is still in the Vatican, unreleased, that backs up your position that barrier methods of contraception, including condoms and, one assumes, interuterine devices, are permissible.
Yes, and my understanding from what the very respectable theologians who drafted the document is that this document is there and must be made more publicly available and known. But of course, there are many advisory documents in the Vatican that don't acquire the status of official teaching, because in the end, the official magisterium, including the Pope, have to validate them, if you like, as official before they can be taken as authoritative.
Now, while many of your critics will basically say this is a group of liberal Catholics, your statement doesn't say that anything goes. You do draw the line, except in certain circumstances, at the use of contraceptives that have what might be called an abortive element to them.
And I think that's a very important line to draw. If we're going to have a debate about abortion, it's a much more significant, different ethical issue to non-abortifacient methods of contraception. Yes, we do draw the line there, except in rare circumstances. And I think it's important to draw that line because there's a sort of myth spread by some who speak for the Catholic Church, that there's a slippery slope from contraception to promiscuity to abortion. But actually, research shows that when women are educated, when they are taught to respect their own freedom of conscience and human dignity with regard to how many children they want to have and when they want to have them, and when they have access to reliable methods of birth control, then actually both unwanted pregnancy and abortion do seem to decline statistically quite significantly.
What does it say, Tina, that about 25% of all healthcare in the developing world is delivered by church agencies? What's the special responsibility then on the Catholic Church regarding this prohibition on artificial contraception, the special responsibility of which you're reminding the church?
If you speak to workers in the front line, workers in healthcare facilities in poor situations, where you're right, the Catholic Church is a leading provider of healthcare, there is a gulf between upholding doctrinal absolutes and meeting the pastoral needs of women and girls in sometimes desperate situations, either needing to protect themselves from unwanted pregnancies or needing to deal with pregnancies that are the consequence of rape, and often suffering the consequences then of unsafe or illegal abortion. Those women constitute a large part of the healthcare provision of Catholic healthcare facilities, girls bleeding to death, infected from unsafe abortion. Pope Francis has said he wants a church that smells of the sheep. He wants a church where doctrinal absolutes do not come before the lived realities of human lives in all their messy complexity. And if that is to be the church that can publicly announce its presence, that needs to be taken as a sense of freedom for people who are doing the hands-on work of loving and caring for the poor to speak freely about the needs of the poor, including the needs of poor women around contraception.
You also argue in this statement that we interfere all the time in natural law, and it's not the issue of interfering in natural law that's important. What is the important question when it comes to altering natural law, such as with artificial contraception?
Natural law is a great concept for reasoning ethically about how we should live as human beings. How are we to live in God's good creation as the kind of creatures we are? And for humans, we are creatures made in the image of God. And I think the question natural law must ask in that context first and foremost is not about the biological functions of sexuality, which we share with most mammals. It's about what does it mean to be a fully, truly human being. And I would want to say natural law in that case surely says what's distinctive and unique about us as humans is the freedom and the dignity we have as creatures made in the image of God, and the question as to how, as sexual beings, we express that freedom and dignity in loving, committed, faithful relationships within which we see something of the love of Christ for the church. And that then raises the question of same-sex relationships, of marriage, and of how children fit into that beautiful and loving creation.
And just finally, I notice that many of the signatories, these leading signatories, are from Catholic universities, but they're emeritus professors. That means they're retired. Is there a fear of retribution among many serving Catholic theologians in Catholic institutions about putting their name to a statement like this?
Yes, and among many priests and bishops. I think if there were not such fear, we would see priests and bishops signing up to a statement like this, and we would have thousands of signatories. But I would just say that there's a very moving story there from Professor Mary McAleese, former President of Ireland, based on her personal experience. Now, I sign this, yes, as a theologian, but I sign it first and foremost as a mother of four adult children, as a woman who's been married for 41 years, and as a grandmother. And I get very angry when I'm told that because I used contraception to space my family, my sex life with my husband is somehow rendered bad or illegitimate. I think that's a really toxic thing to say to people. And so I sign documents like this first and foremost as a mother, a wife, and a grandmother, not as a theologian. That comes second.
Professor Tina Beattie, Professor of Catholic Studies at Roehampton University in the United Kingdom. She's one of more than 150 of the world's top theologians, Catholic theologians, who've signed a statement asking the Vatican to review its ban on artificial contraception. Thank you for being with us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you.